Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Happy sunny Tuesday, June 24th to you. Got plenty to do today. The sands of the Eastern Conference shifting already after OKC wins the title. Boston making moves, and I suspect there will be more. There will be more for Boston. We'll talk about what they did, what Portland has done, because it certainly involved those Trailblazers. I got an old buddy. T-Shane used to be a Blazers fan. Used to root for Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter. Now, they never got it done.
Mm-mm.
Couldn't beat Mike. Wonder how he's feeling. Wonder how Portland fans are feeling today. We'll talk about the trade, what it means for both sides, and particularly what it means for Boston, because we know about next season. It's a challenge for them already with Jason Tatum out for most of it. Knicks, they ever going to get a coach? We'll see. Brad, don't think I'm not aware. Cardinals hit 4 home runs yesterday on the Chicago
Cubs. Oh, that's why he was so damn.
Give yourself a round of applause. Now, he's got on his Lausanne stuff today, not his Cardinals stuff. I'm surprised.
But when we walked in, he had an ish-eating grin.
Just had his chest out a little bit.
It makes sense.
Let's remember, that's our boss.
That's right. But 11-2, though, producer.
Both.
I believe. But
congratulations, Brad. Cardinals 1-0 against your Cubbies. I'm paying attention. Cubs have allowed 7 or more in 5 straight games. Y'all are catching us at a good time, Cardinals fans. Respect. Got to respect it, because every time you leave those Cardinals for dead, that's right, they come back and get you. John, that's it for the baseball coverage.
Yeah.
But wanted to keep you aware. Cubs Cards is happening right
now
in St. Louis.
You'll get back, 6:45.
Thanks. If we win, I'll wear the Cubs hat.
I'll be at a Major League Baseball game in a week. I'm going to go to the Nationals July 4th game.
That's fantastic.
You get a free beer. I learned that today.
Nationals and who?
Red Sox.
That's a great game.
11:05.
You see the tradition-rich Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
You'll need a beer to watch that game.
Honestly, that's the beauty of not being a baseball fan. I won't know the difference.
Right.
I won't know what I'm watching. Like, am I watching a good team? Am I watching a bad team? Like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like,
will he get in cheaper as a result?
Yes.
Exactly. You've been.
I looked at a few tickets. Like, it's really not. It's really nothing. And with the kids, I'm like, I don't really want to splurge because they may be out of it by the sixth inning. So, I'm going to get
That's
in
fantastic.
There as cheaply as I can. But I'm excited. You know, I like to try to do one once a year. Last year we did Wrigley, which was a fantastic atmosphere.
Knocked that off your bucket list.
And I got knocked in the head with a cup. Remember, I almost got into a fight at Wrigley. You know?
We don't actually. We don't want you back.
Yeah.
Did you start that or not?
I got hit in the head. Now, I have been?
I was
rooting for the Reds.
Right.
But
and
I,
you leave yourself open
I
to that.
I thought Chicago fans were nice, though. I thought they were, like, used to losing.
You can be loud at times.
That's right. That is.
Put in Austin Nichols!
That is fair. That was country music night at the right. at the Hustle.
Right.
And I think they did put him in, ultimately.
They had to succumb.
That's right. The fans demanded it. It's a super hot day. I like to take my son on a walk every morning. You know, just as a nice habit, get him out in nature, you know, whatever, get some steps in for myself.
Man, that
and
athleticism, that quick
twitch. That's right.
Early.
And, bro, I damn near couldn't even do it at 9 a.m. this morning. Like, it's so hot outside. I mean, it's unbelievable how humid it is. And I also saw there's a guy on TikTok who's going around walking in front of every Germantown home in Germantown. He's, like, doing every single one of them. He's walking through every 15,000. He's doing it on TikTok. I can't remember his name on there, man.
Look at Brad's face.
I hate to see it.
Is this safe?
Yeah.
That's what I would have questioned as a Germantown resident.
Yeah.
Is it Brad? Is it John?
No.
You guys are the home.
He's not like filming every home, you know what I mean? But he's doing it. And he's like, I don't know exactly why, but he's doing it. And 15K Homes is his name on TikTok. He actually recognized me, and he said, "I listen to you every day. You
got
to be
a blessing."
He's like, "You got to be at work in about an hour." Which
let's get those meters over to him.
That's right. Can we get this brother a meter? 15,000 homes. Anyway, yes, a lot to get to on the show today. It is draft week. Continues to be busy. here with the NBA draft, trades. We hope the Grizzlies will be active here very soon. They've already been active already. We want more. We always want more. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about draft week, what she's got planned. I know Grand City Media is doing a draft show.
Party.
I don't know if she will be on it. I assume she will, but we'll confirm that with her in just a little bit and get her thoughts on everything that's going on. Her thoughts on the OKC Thunder. Does the championship have an asterisk?
She pretty much became a Thunder fan this postseason.
Did she?
Maybe got a little too giddy with it.
Yeah, okay.
No, but she had jumped on board. Like Drew Hill, had jumped on, real.
This is real, yeah.
And I'm kidding. Yeah. But she had long ago said this team's going to win a title. So I'm not surprised.
Right.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll talk to her about all that at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Jason Fitz will join us, and we'll talk, obviously, about the same things, NFL, and more. So lots to get to with Fitz at 1:25.
Real quick, what are you going to say to Stephen A. when he comes up here to talk to you?
I can't wait.
Is going to be the first thing you say to Stephen? I know you didn't plan this. It's just impromptu.
The first thing I'd say to Stephen A. is that you were wrong for what you did. If we're just going to be 100 with each other, I'm not.
Is it what you did, the way you did it?
I would say both. Okay. They kind of blend into the same. And really, the worst part of it is that, you know, he claimed to love the city, right? He claimed to have this sort of affection.
He says he has people here.
Right.
Friends here, close friends.
And so that they, you know, he talked about how it's a majority black city in a red state.
Something we brought up.
You know, he talked about that, which it is, and how difficult that can make the dynamics here. And yet he still chose to come back on that second day and double down, essentially, on trying to prove that he was correct when he talked about the crime problem.
Maybe the question I should ask, do you welcome him?
Absolutely.
In terms of the
Absolutely.
Chance, too.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
100%.
Educate him.
Absolutely.
Show him, you know, sort of what we've got to work on. We know we got to work on. We're trying to work on. But why this thing,
that's right,
frankly, should always have an NBA team.
That's exactly
right. Just like what you say.
Please.
It's a basketball town. Really, we're an NBA town.
That's right.
And you shouldn't speak ill of this. Yeah, yes, small market NBA town
that's
frankly needs its stars and everything else.
Yes.
You know how important it is to see. But maybe you can make him aware of how important the Grizzlies are.
100%.
Especially, you know, whether it's Memphis, whether it's downtown Memphis, all of that.
So that the next time you try to talk about Memphis, maybe that's in the back of your mind. Yeah. Like, this is a city that's definitely doing its best. We prevented a tax hike for you yesterday.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We did that for you. Can we get a round of applause for no taxes?
Now,
no tax hike.
Hasn't he been here before? And you all, hadn't he been here before?
He has been here before.
He needed an Uber or something.
Yes.
The big car, the big Uber.
And this has nothing to do with it, but he was on I had agreed to take him to the airport.
You were going
to take him? I was going to take him to the airport.
Our own John Marr was going to take Stephen A. to the airport. Do you remember the story?
I don't remember why he was here. It's been like 10, 11 years.
Tell the story, please, because I don't think
it's not much of it. It's really not much of a story.
This is something,
though. Maybe we can do a reenactment.
Yeah. You can. All you have to do is say, you know, yeah, can you take me to the airport? Sure, no problem. I was like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, I can make an impression in the Altima. Just, you know, make sure it's, you know.
It's going to get me to Bristol.
Please, you know, this man. And
how long ago was this? What was your age? How young were you?
I was 23.
There you go. Okay.
You know, so yes. I looked at this opportunity as like, I get to drive Miss Daisy. You know, I can really make an impression on this man if I get him in the Altima. And just, you know, and he was, and look, this was before he had the influence that he has today, right?
Right.
I mean, he was still important to ESPN, but he wasn't nearly the face of it like he is today.
Yes.
And I still understood the assignment.
Where he was going.
100%. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll take you, man. I'll take you. So I'm kind of waiting around. I'm kind of like loitering around the office, you know what I'm saying? Like waiting for him to, I don't remember what he's doing. He was here doing something. And I think, I want to say he did it, he popped on Vernon and did an interview on Vernon. And then he was still hanging around, though. He's like, and then I remember going in there.
Here at this station.
At this station, yes.
Maybe he did a hit or something.
Yeah, okay. Now I remember.
With somebody else, you know.
And he was in the conference room.
Okay.
And I remember he was looking out those big windows, and he was looking at the interstate, and he was on the phone. And I don't remember why I went in there. I don't remember why I went in there to
you were checking to see if he's ready.
I don't know. But I went in there, I said something, and he immediately swatted me away. He immediately just, I mean, you know how it is, right? He swatted me away. And I said, I guess I'm just not going to be taking Stephen A. to the airport today.
I knew there was a detail that I could not remember, but I did not get you to retell that story to get to that detail.
But that is what happened.
There,
I was like, I'm just not taking him. I mean, I think I had somewhere I had to be.
With his like left hand, the off hand on the hand on the phone.
Exactly.
And he gave you his off hand.
As if I was like a custodian. And I love custodians. I do. I love our custodian. I love the people that, you know, but it was as if I was like a cleaning person, you know? And he was like, not right now. I'm in the middle of something.
Wow. And it shows the kind of man that you've grown to become, that you would still welcome him to Memphis.
Oh, I welcome him.
Then he comes back, what he said about the city, and then you still have these open hands to him. You welcome him for the chance to educate.
I think you have to do that, man. Because
I sense some forgiveness.
Oh yeah.
At least the willingness to forgive if he's willing to come over and be educated.
He showed that. That's the way. He showed that. You know, he's like, I'll accept your invite, Paul Young. I'll come down as your guest, and I trust Paul Young to give him, you know, the duct tape and the taser treatment.
It feels like a trap door. It feels like a trap.
I don't think it's a trap. I don't think there's any way it would be a trap. I really don't. I think it's going to be a straight up genuine love, man. You know, I see now what this place really is.
I think Paul came to him pretty much man to man in terms of the reaching out to him, trying to educate him on what they're doing. Hey, I'm inviting you down. You know, it's a mayor of a city of the, again, largest predominantly black city in the country.
Yep.
He's got his hand out to you saying, I'm welcoming you down. If you don't answer that whatsoever, it's almost a slap at his face. If you're not going to respond whatsoever after your charges and the mayor has invited you down,
it's
really disrespectful. So
absolutely.
I almost think he had to take the invite.
I mean, and for ESPN, they get a chance to
stand on business.
They get access. I mean, they can make it a thing. Like Stephen A. goes to town, like goes to Memphis.
Yeah, I highly doubt they do that.
You know, but I'm just saying they have the options. Right. They can make it a thing if they want.
I'm wondering if he's just going to expect to come down here and get a free time.
Oh, he
does. Hit the golf course.
He does.
Go Peabody'd up and whatever.
There's no doubt.
Else
and look, he'll get it. Yeah. He'll get it.
Well, as long as he's willing to take
it. But it's worth it if he goes back to Bristol.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
You know, and says, hey, I Memphis has its warts, but I was wrong about the place. You know,
maybe it's what players like Jimmy Butler say, but you can say something different to them about it as opposed to what I'm saying? Because that was where the charge originally came from, was players are saying this.
Well, how many guys?
And so you can tell them the next time.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's a basketball town.
Right.
And they protect their own, quite frankly, once they're down there.
Yes.
There haven't been any incidents.
And the places where those crimes
would
be happening, you would never be touched. Right, I mean, they just would not reach you.
By having him here, perhaps he can say that in those conversations next time with players.
Because how many NBA guys come here and they say, "Man, like I had no idea about Memphis. I had no idea." Well,
the ones that end up playing here, the ones that are coming in for visits that stay down at the West End, just stay in to stay out because they're
their
front offices or whatever. Their guys have told them, "Hey, man, you don't need to be going out." You know, they're not experiencing it, and it's not Miami. You know, it's not L.A., so you can get it. But the ones that have come here and stayed, they tell you all the time. You're fine. Frankly, you get treated. I mean, you saw what Will Barton said.
Exactly.
I mean, frankly, you're treated like a star here. You get a certain protection here. And let's be real. Let's continue to remind folks, those folks that broke in on Ja were a national ring of folks. That was not Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to Joe Burrow.
Zach Edey did not
get
arrested in
Kelsey.
Memphis doing 101. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Now, I didn't want to bring this up, but and I almost hate to say it. But Dan Dockich did a segment on this on his show.
Oh, great.
And he did mention the two clowns. He didn't mention us by name, but he can't forget us. He can't forget.
I mean, that's, you know what? I mean, that's a point of pride, I think.
I think
that we have
no question
lasted this long in his mental space.
Every time he thinks about Memphis, he thinks about us. No doubt.
I mean, apparently we made quite the impression.
Well,
I'm not even trying to be nastier than about it.
He was like, the way he said it, he was like, you know, these two clowns in Memphis, they do radio. They used to ask me to come on all the time, you know. I was like, dude, we asked you to come on one time, man. Like,
well, I mean, dude,
actually, we asked him to come on afterwards.
We had him on set a couple of times where it was pleasant and good. He told us about depressions that he was in and sleeping on his couch and all this stuff. It's like, wow, okay. That was a different Dan Dockich.
Oh, it definitely was.
You know, and the thing with Memphis, it clearly, you know, peed him off. He didn't like the fact that we thought it was the right move.
Yep.
But it just got personal to a point, man, this dude's still calling me DEI and we're still on his brain.
Yeah.
It's just for me, man, it's fine. The fact that we continue to come in here and do a show is the hot coals on his head. I'm willing to let that speak for itself.
But I will say
with all due respect,
he went on to say that I won't say he defended Memphis, but he definitely pushed back on Stephen A's idea of like He's like, these NBA players, he's like, Indianapolis is a dump too. We have more crime than Memphis. And he's like, talking about it. He's like, nobody ever talks about that. These guys stay in the suburbs. You know, they don't ever go in the city. You know, so the idea that Stephen A. would bring this up as an issue, he's like, he said, I think Memphis is a dump. That's what he said. But he's like, he's like, the idea that Memphis' crime problem would keep them from getting NBA players is basically ludicrous. Which I was like, am I agreeing with Dan Dockich? Is that what's happening? Very, very weird feeling.
Yeah.
But I did see that, and I was mildly entertained by it. I didn't listen past
I wonder
that.
If he'll make us aware of his presence since this became such a big deal.
I hope so.
Or if it'll be a quick in out.
Yeah.
And maybe he never speaks on it again. We'll I'll be interested to see her.
Yeah.
If he does come in with it, you know, the mayor
will it be
makes
an NBA
no
game? Will it be, you know, when will it happen?
When will it happen? All that. But what I want from it is what you said is you get a little bit of an education, right?
Exactly.
You go back and you don't have to blare it out on First Take, whatever. We'll take
sure.
that. Well, because you'll be saying nice things about us the next time they're good.
Right.
What I would like is, though, Stephen A. to step up in those conversations with some of those players and educate him. No, man, in Memphis, you get protected.
No
like,
doubt.
Like Zach, Tony, all, you know, everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're celebrity.
Yes.
Once you've reached a certain point in Memphis, and let's be real, you
yes,
hug it.
Exactly.
And it's going to take care of you. That's all the way you know, from the top to the bottom.
Well, and the other thing too is like, bro, I know it's not NBA, but think about when Game Day came here, right?
Yes.
When they set up on Beale and they had everybody, dude, people raved about Memphis mm-hmm. as a Game Day site. They
That's
said
right.
it was the best site. They had Beale packed. Like everybody absolutely loved it. Nobody was talking about crime, and it was right there,
100%.
It was right downtown. I know that was pre-COVID, and that's a real thing.
Where did my Niners receiver get shot in the chest? Where? What part of town was that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like that's happening to current now. That guy was a rookie, wasn't he? A rookie receiver or whatever else. And maybe Brock Purdy.
It was in San Francisco.
But I thought it was like in a
Union Square.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Like okay, that's an issue where a player got. Really, like robbed.
You got shot
in the chest in the middle of town. That's not happening here. Now, in that case, again, in every case, that's a rookie player.
Yep.
Guys, who knows about this guy that robbed him? I didn't read about the details or whatever else. And maybe that doesn't happen to Brock Purdy. But my point is there are cities where players have been attacked before.
Yep.
That is not happening in Memphis.
Yep.
And yet that was the original charge. Like, you're not safe there, those players. Let's stop with
that. Yeah. Hopefully we will get the First Take from Memphis. You know, that'd be fun. Get everybody down, you know, do it outside the FedEx Forum. Inside FedEx Forum.
I'd welcome a First Take in Memphis inside FedEx Forum all day long.
Such an easy
if
PR
he's willing
win.
To go that way.
Because you just took a huge dump on the city for 2 days, like, for no reason.
And got ratings out of it.
It certainly got ratings out of it. So, you know, give us a little bit of economy. Bring everybody down. Bring the production team down. You know, show us in a nice light.
Pretty sure it did well because he came back with it that next day in the A block. I'm not mistaken, he was in the A or B block.
No doubt. He wouldn't
it was
have
up
done
there.
It. And I know it was summertime, but,
was
you know, it obviously did well enough for him to come. He's
Anytime
that's what
he
he's good
Ja,
at. Yeah.
And it started there, but, you know, he blew it up.
Well, we're going to be monitoring.
He's fantastic at doing.
For now, we have a ceasefire between Memphis and Stephen A. Smith. Right?
Well said.
That's the theme of the day. But
come on in for talks.
We do need to continue our diplomacy. And hopefully, you know, Stephen A. coming in. And I mean, there's no way he wouldn't now that he's agreed to do it publicly with Paul Young.
Oh, right.
So,
you could really be held in just in an ugly light.
No doubt.
By Memphis, you know, held accountable for, you know, saying you'll come, not coming at this point. He has to come. He's boxed himself in now.
Yep. A lot of news in the NBA today. Got trades, got draft rumors. I saw this one story, Jason, of a guy who is likely going to be a lottery pick or just outside the lottery pick. But he's international, and there's a little bit of controversy over his arrival. I'd love to run it by you a little bit later in the show, but I'll leave it at that. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies draft week, OKC winning the championship. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to fam ESPN? Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media, catch her on the Grizz Radio Network throughout the season, and she joins us now. I mean, it must just – does it give you PTSD when you see all these players go down with Achilles injuries?
Yes, it quite literally makes me feel like I'm going to throw up when I watch it happen, especially when, like – well, both the Tatum and the Tyrese, it felt like a no question. Like, it happened, and especially knowing that he had been playing through the calf strain and the movement and the, like, screaming in pain and hitting the ground, I was like, oh, he tore his Achilles. That's – absolutely horrific. So yes, the PTSD stays strong.
So now that we know, obviously, that the Oklahoma City Thunder went on to win Game 7 and became the NBA champions, How big is the asterisk on it? Is it just a small asterisk? Is it a big asterisk? Because obviously Ja got hurt, Aaron Gordon got hurt, Tyrese Halliburton got hurt. What size is the asterisk?
So I really refuse to play the asterisk game.
Oh.
Because I really do look at the totality of a championship season, including the road that happens to pave itself on your way to said championship. And you can't choose when teams face injuries in front of you. And I certainly understand how people get wrapped up in the, well, that's not fair. They got to play the Grizzlies without Ja, and Ja said he had them figured out. And they got to play the Nuggets in Game 7 with a completely hampered Aaron Gordon. And, oh, here we go. Game 7 comes around in the finals, and Tyrese Halliburton starts off scorching hot, 3-of-3 from 3, and then he goes down and tears his Achilles. So what do you expect? But at the end of the day, it's really, really hard to win a title. And this Thunder team was statistically so dominant all season long. I think it's unfair to detract what they did this season from the injury conversation, right? So you're always going to look back at the 2025 finals and think, what if? What if Tyrese Halliburton hadn't gotten hurt? But just because it's a what if doesn't mean that that hypothetical involves the Pacers beating the Thunder. Like, they very easily could have still beaten the Pacers in that game, and they do end up beating the Pacers, and they are champions, and I think you have to put a certain level of respect to that.
Who is Maybe I know the answer, but I hadn't thought about it. In terms of the teams that are worse off, like, John's made the point, and it really hadn't dawned on me until, like, Indiana may never get back. I mean, it's just possible. Now, I do think Halliburton's an emerging superstar that maybe one day will lead them back, but boy, did it work out great for them. Just in terms of the teams, right, that lost their key guys, Tatum and then Dame in Milwaukee, and maybe it's them, which one's worse off? Which team is in the worst shape in terms of with their guy out?
I would almost think that the – are you including Milwaukee in that? So between Milwaukee, Boston, and Pacers?
Including Milwaukee, yep.
I think the Pacers still have – arguably, the Pacers still have their best player in Pascal Siakam.
In Pascal.
And the Bucks still have their best player in Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you really do look at Boston, and we knew that they were in a position where they had to shed some of the salary to avoid going into the second apron and having no extra money to spend. And so it kind of works out well for them that you look at next season without Jason Tatum, and it feels as if there really isn't a path forward. So you start doing the rebuilding process now, and you find a way to get two picks and Anfernee Simons from Portland in return for Jrue Holiday. And who knows if Anfernee Simons ends up playing for Boston or if he's a part of another trade, and then what they do with Kristaps Porzingis, and is there still a world where Derek White gets traded? But I think you just look at the – I won't say the Celtics are in a worse spot because the Celtics are managed by a mastermind in Brad Stevens.
Yep.
And it feels like there's more just an acknowledgement of, okay, we're not going to win next year. And maybe not the year after either, but setting yourself up for furthered success. So I have to look at the Bucks as the bottom of those three, because the Pacers' depth is one of the reasons they got there in the first place, right? By all means, taking Tyrese Halliburton out of the equation is a tremendous loss, but you should be able to look at them and realistically think they'll still be a good team next year and so forth when Tyrese returns.
On the Celtics situation particularly, Jaylen Brown, some have said, I was hearing it speculated about this morning, that maybe what you do is you said, you know what, go for your MVP season now, the one that you'll never win when Tatum's here just because of how good he is statistically. And I'm saying that to ask you, do you think Jaylen Brown, if given that, hey, you know, we're paying you $300 million on this contract, go out there and lead us. You know, put together an MVP season. We'll get behind you with what we've got. And sure, we had to get off some salary. Maybe it's Porzingis that's got to go too. But go lead us. Hey, maybe we get Tatum back, and we'll see where we're at. What do you think about Jaylen Brown, the potential, the guy going for an MVP type season in terms of carrying them? Can he do that, Jess?
I am not as much of a Jaylen Brown. It's not that I don't believe in him, but being that elite of a player where you are talking about an MVP season. And then again, like, what is around Jaylen Brown in this scenario? Because if you no longer have Jrue Holiday, and I know he was injured last year and had a down year, but you take Kristaps Porzingis out, are they going to be able to find the salary for Al Horford? Is he gone? He's been a holder together for them for
it's
so
fair.
Long, and,
yeah,
and you
fair.
Obviously don't have Tatum. So then you're looking at what? Like a
him, Derek,
Richard,
Payton,
Luke Kornet,
yeah.
Bailey,
no, you're right.
Situation.
It's getting thin.
That feels like a heavy, heavy burden to put on Jaylen Brown. So I guess I should put it in that way. It's less of a not belief in Jaylen Brown, but just in a what can Boston realistically that's be fair. Building around him that would lead me to think that he could do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Talking to Jessica Benson from the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grind City Media. I assume you'll be on the draft show on Thursday?
Sure, will be on Wednesday. Yes,
Wednesday. I keep saying Thursday. I don't know.
What program?
When did this change? Did this change like today? Like when did this change? This because it used to be all day Thursday, but I mean, again, I'm stuck in 2016. So
I think last year it was Wednesday as well. Because to be honest, we were planning vacation plans, and I had us here Wednesday, Thursday, knowing that the draft would be over Friday. Okay. Yes.
Thanks for getting that in, that you're just going to go on vacation. I mean, that must be nice.
This is me telling you I won't be here next week. Yes. Thanks.
Some of us have to work for a living. But no, in terms of the Grizzlies' plan of attack, nobody was paying attention in Memphis to the draft until, you know, 2 weeks ago. And now you have the 16th overall pick in the draft. So in terms of, you know, preferences for Jessica Benson, you know, if you had your pick here, what happens on draft night?
If I had my perfect pick, what happens on draft night is that 16th pick is either involved in a trade for a veteran player or involved in a trade that essentially helps you shed some salary so that you can sign Jaren Jackson Jr. to his extension. I know that this front office has operated from a point of liking to draft. They've had success in the draft, of trading around in the draft. And so I can, you know, talk myself into getting excited over a Cedric Coward or a Neek Clifford, or I really like that Noah, I can't pronounce his last name, but I think you guys were teasing the guy who's in France playing, or who plays for the German team, and his team is playing in its league championship series. And now I guess he might leave his team in the middle of the championship series. So less like that. But you get into this place where you're trying to convince yourself, like, oh, yeah, the ceiling for this guy could be tremendous. But I don't see any player's ceiling being high enough that they are a critical piece of the equation next season, where the Grizzlies, you know, I would love for them to be competing in the Western Conference, a Western Conference that just reloads and gets more difficult. And you look at their division and now Kevin Durant's with the Rockets and so on and so forth. So it puts me in a place where I would love for them not to use that pick tomorrow. I think the more likely outcome is that they do, and there's certainly talent that they'll be able to tap into and try to grow this roster out. But the last thing I want is to be getting excited about another rookie going into next year.
Did you know Edie could get in a Sorrento?
I had more people joking about that in various group chats about the Kia Sorento portion of it. Obviously, don't speed. Speeding is bad. Don't go out and drive.
That was very fast.
155. But no, I did not know he could get into a Kia Sorento. But I think we learned about this last Grizzlies media day, because I think a player, he was with a teammate of, I can't remember which one it was, but he like picked him up in his Kia, and the teammate was like, "What is happening?"
Wow.
Kias are nice vehicles.
Very roomy, clearly.
Okay.
Like, I mean, what do you mean, okay? Like, you don't know? Like, you don't think Kias are nice?
Well, I don't know, John. I've had to deal with 800 people telling me that my husband deserved to have his car stolen because it was a Hyundai Elantra. And if you have a Kia or a Hyundai in this city, you should just expect for it to get stolen. So well, I have a bad taste in my mouth on the Kias at the moment.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. There, I guess there's, like everything, there are super nice Kias, you know, like the Telluride.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, the Telluride?
I'm really bad with cars, but I'll take your word for it.
Go look it up when we're done. And then there's and then there's whatever it is, you know, the bottom of the line, which is the, you know, what Chris had. I think he would say that, right? Like the Hyundai version.
It's an old car. Yeah.
It's like when Brad got, you know, his head busted by his grandma. It's like, you know, you just kind of, it's passed down from generation to generation. You just drive it and you're happy.
Exactly.
But Kia, you know, they have some high end stuff.
I mean, I'm seeing $35,000 on the upper, you know, even for a 2023. So I guess they get pretty roomy and pretty nice. Okay. You know, that's not that much.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know.
It's high NBA end player, for a Sorrento.
Yeah. Like,
looking at the
dang
Telluride,
Sorrento.
36.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, I'm just on the Sorrento. You guys are on the Telluride.
No, I feel like the Telluride is like their highest.
It is.
But
he could get it. He could get an EV9 for $54,000.
Good grief.
But see, like, I will say this.
The hybrid.
This goes to show you that this man is managing his money very well.
Oh, it does.
because he's.
I think it shows good brain usage. I agree.
I'm less focused on the offense than I am of the practicality that he showed by being in the Kia.
Again, don't drive 150, but also proud of you for driving a Kia Sorento. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Like financially prudent. You know, there's no. I mean, yeah. I've gotten pulled over. You know, for speeding in a school zone. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we all fall short. And you know, it's just,
I got pulled over for a California stop once. I didn't think people actually got pulled over for that. So that was a tough lesson.
Yeah. That's pretty outrageous.
Hey, Jess, Stephen A. Smith coming to Memphis trip, and he's coming down to FedEx Forum, and we've assigned you to welcome him. Where are you going to take him first on this education that we're about to give Stephen A., right, on how big, how important the Grizzlies are to Memphis, but how safe players certainly are here in Memphis? Sure, we've got our problems, but we're working on them, Stephen A. Where's the first place you're taking him, Jeff?
Well, one, my mom would be so happy because my mom has been asking me to write a letter to Stephen A. Smith.
Wow, a letter.
Telling him that I would like to talk to him on my show about how great Memphis is. So we're starting off strong here. I think no trip to Memphis is complete without going to the National Civil Rights Museum. I just think it's a really good place to start on the history of the city and obviously the importance of civil rights in the city. And then from there, we can take them to some of my favorite food spots. The hot spot right now is Hard Times Deli. So I'd probably take them for a sandwich at Hard Times Deli and get them a taste of like cool new offerings that Memphis has at the moment. Like you got to take them to the Bass Pro Pyramid, get them up on the roof with a view of the city and say, this is the city that you're spending so much time yapping about negatively. How dare you? I'd have to create a full itinerary, but there's no shortage of things to do. I look forward to seeing what he chooses to do when he's here in the city of Memphis.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt that you would be a great companion there in the city. I do want to ask you, you know, other happenings around the draft. Cooper Flagg seems like he'll go number one to the Mavericks. I don't know how much.
Can you imagine if he didn't?
I mean,
it'd be the biggest surprise of all time.
It would. He's minus, I think, $100,000 to go number one. I know you don't bet, but $100,000 would get you $100 if you want to get that down. But are you a believer? Are you a believer in Cooper Flagg in terms of, you know, generational talent? This guy is going to be, you know, undeniable all-star. Like where, or is he, as Chuck Klosterman, Detlef Schrempf? Like where does he fall on your spectrum there?
I think you have the ceiling of a generational talent, a multi-time all-star. I mean, there's a reason he's the consensus number one pick and has so much hype and why people were trying to plant the flag all season to get the best odds to ultimately get Cooper Flagg. And you look out and, you know, his two-way versatility impact on both offense and defense, and seems like he's this super high IQ guy. He has all of the qualities that you want to hear about a prospect on draft night seem to be wrapped up in Cooper Flagg. And you just never know how something is going to work out. But it seems as if the Dallas Mavericks were gifted for their horrific business decisions in trading Luka Doncic, and now they're able to turn over into a new generation of their own with Cooper Flagg. So his floor is just ridiculously high, and I'm excited to see if he matches the expectations, because that's what we get the second he's drafted. Then it turns into, will he be as good as everybody thinks that he will be?
There's a lot riding on him. There's a lot riding on him for you know, for a lot of reasons. And so you know, but I think again, defensively, that's where he's coming in immediately and impacting it. So
yeah,
I believe that's going
to
happen.
I'm curious, Jess, we haven't gotten a chance to talk to you. How concerned are you about the Houston Rockets now that they've made the deal for KD?
I'm pretty concerned. And like in a Rockets got better kind of way. I understand the notion of, you know, did KD really fit in their perfect timeline and with their youth, and he's 37 years old, but I mean, we've talked about it exhaustively at this point. KD hasn't fallen off in a efficiency standpoint and being one of the best scorers in the NBA. And you put him with what Houston was able to hold on to, particularly in Alper and Şengün and Amen Thompson. And it seems like a really good fit. And you throw in, if they're able to figure out a way to keep Fred VanVleet, you've got Steven Adams, who recommits on a pretty team-friendly deal there. And You still have the young pieces in a Jabari Smith and Reed Sheppard. We don't even know what he could be yet with this Houston Rockets team. And I just think getting to this point in KD's career, I know it was such a important part of the story that he wanted to go to Houston. That was his preference. And if he was going to go to the team that he preferred, there was a more likely outcome that he would be interested in an extension. And so I think it will be really interesting to see how Kevin Durant kind of evolves in this chapter of his career. I know you can look at the teams he's been on in the last handful of them, and he hasn't been able to take them over the hump, whether it be in Brooklyn or in Phoenix. But with Houston, I don't think he needs to be the guy for an extended period of time, which is a weird thing to say about Kevin Durant. But so often when I was talking to people within the Rockets organization, especially early last year, the question was, could Alperen Sengun and Jalen Green operate cohesively as two number one options? Or was that always going to be something that kind of banged together and didn't work in a very collaborative way? And now you've committed on Sengun. And so what that looks like building the team around him, and Kevin Durant is a piece of that. So I think the Rockets just got better. It's just another example of the Western Conference trying to lock and load and scrap to be the team that can someday hopefully continue to compete with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. We shall see. Jessica, you're the best. Thank you as always.
Thank you, Jess.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. They're having a I don't know if it's a parade. It's like a. It almost seems like an address. Like they're talking to fans. I think they're at the arena or something. And they're just having a moment here with the fans. So, it will be boring. None of them drank. None of them did anything.
They left all of it.
Well, we're getting into a generation. It actually, I think, is a larger commentary on this country.
I'm interested where you're going to go here.
I don't think young people are going to drink the way that our generations did.
But I thought I heard said some of them asked for where's the tequila.
Oh, well, they went straight to the hard stuff.
They just didn't want the.
Well, I'm not saying everybody now.
Okay.
We're going to still have some alcohol.
I think there's some truth in what you're saying.
But I think, yes. Like, as a collective, you know, perhaps. Like, I think younger people will seek other vices. You know what I mean? Like, I think you'll
like
see.
Like vaping?
Vaping, weed, like, yes, 100%, 100%. Because, you know.
I see the vaping part.
The risks of, you know, alcohol. Goodness. Like, it's almost like cigarettes in a way, right? Like, we learned, you know, later in life the risks of smoking cigarettes. Therefore, like, nobody smokes cigarettes anymore. Compared to 50 years ago, 60. I mean, we used to smoke cigarettes in restaurants. We used to smoke cigarettes on planes, you know. And now it's like $10 a damn pack. I mean, it's crazy. So there's such a tax on cigarettes now. So people are priced out of them, you know.
That's why you stopped, right?
Somehow I never smoked cigarettes.
No, I'm just, yeah, I knew that.
My mom was like a big smoker. My dad was a big smoker. Somehow, you know, I never did it. Maybe I should have. It would have helped me in some ways. But I do think, like, you're going to see, you know, they're not going to be going for the champagne or the beer as much. Like, the young people are going to be going for the weed.
For the hard stuff.
For the weed. Because it's going to be legal, you know? And, but again, like, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think there will be alternatives as opposed to.
Jess mentioned, not to cut you off.
No, that was about it.
Hard Times Deli. Have either of you gentlemen been there?
No.
She said she would take Stephen A. to Hard Times Deli.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Trying to get schooled on that. But two things there. And she said, and I asked her on the spot where we would take him. So it was on the spot question. But we had Hard Times Deli and we had Bass Pro, and that was it.
Yep.
And we're going to have to do better in terms of where we're going to take him. And we're going to have to link. And she said, I need a little more time to work on it. Mm. But you understand that that's not going to get it.
No, I don't think that will change Hard Times and Minds.
And I can't wait to get it. I'm not saying I'd love to get to Hard Times Deli. It sounds like it's going to be great. But this though, that and Bass Pro, he's going to go back on there and dog us again.
100%.
So we're going to need to add to the list of stops. Again, we asked her that right off the cuff.
Yep.
It's very tough to do. It was a good start. We need to finish the list.
Yeah. I mean, because you're right. It's just going to
confirm. That's not going to get it done
for him.
Right.
What he thinks about. Now, I know that hurts your heart to hear, Brad.
I mean, come on.
Because Brad stayed in the hotel at Bass Pro.
First off, you're going to have to drag him to the Bass Pro.
He's not. It's the wrong setting for him. All right.
Unless he's going to do the show from up there on the top.
There are some people you could take to Bass Pro, and they have a certain opinion about Memphis. And they will feel like they have died and gone to heaven, right, in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
You might can take Dockage to Bass Pro.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
And then there are people that you can take to Bass Pro and they will say, I knew it. I knew y'all was some hillbillies down here. I knew y'all was some XYZ down here. You know?
I mean, there's a lot to enjoy in Bass Pro.
No, there is.
And she did say Civil Rights Museum as well. And she said she'd take anybody down
there. That's right. No, for sure.
My guess is she's probably been there.
Yeah. But I think you have to read the room a little bit. Like, Bass Pro is just
or
not.
Or Stephen A.
Yeah. It's just not what he's going to be. Like, that man is from New York, bro. He does not want to see the damn fish. Brad wants to see the fish. Brad wants to stay in the hotel and bowl. You know, not Stephen A. Smith.
Right. He can get skyscraper type views.
From New York.
From New York.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't you want to see the Memphis skyline?
The river. Maybe
some brown water.
See the mud.
See, come on, man.
No, I love Jess. She's two of three.
Two of three from three is a really good clip.
She is. Civil Rights Museum, Hard Times Deli.
I assume it's good. I don't know.
It must be good.
Yeah.
It must be. She says everybody's talking about it. That was another reason I brought it up. I want to, you know. I gotta check out the Yelp.
I'm so rarely downtown that I don't know those spots. You know, she lives and works downtown, so
we gotta get you out more.
I'll go to a Grizz game, bro. I'll go to a Grizz game. I'll go to a Memphis. I gotta take Damo to a Memphis basketball game. I was telling my wife about that the other day. I said, you know, we took Riley to a Memphis basketball game before she was 2 years old. Damo didn't get a chance. It's not fair. It's not just. So we're gonna have to make up for that.
You have to give him a chance to want to be a Tiger.
No doubt. No doubt. And
give him a chance.
I just know he's going to be. He's already way more into throwing basketballs and all that than Riley ever was. So, you know, I think it's going to be. It might just become a thing. But we got to go down there. You know, so we will be out and about.
Good.
And maybe I'll make a stop at Hard Times Deli. I mean, I had jury duty last year. You know, that was about the last time I was downtown, not for a game. You know, it's just very rare.
Man, this Buffalo Chicken Caesar looks great. We're going to learn more about Hard Times. Appreciate that suggestion.
Yeah.
Too. You're still going to get an education every time Jessica's on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate her so much.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks, Jessica Betts, for joining us on the show. We got draft news. We got draft speculation. What are the Grizzlies going to do? Got some very interesting news on Memphis basketball's money. And perhaps it being a little bit better than we thought. We're going to dive into that a little bit later in the show. Stick around. Jason and John.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Trying to find ESPN. Black Tie Movement is changing movement in the city of Memphis. And they're doing it by being pros and getting the job done. Doesn't matter where you're going, whether you're moving in Memphis, whether you're moving out of Memphis, cross town, cross country, they can handle that move for you. If you're one of those people that just decides, I'm gonna move myself, you don't even know what you're missing. Just makes it so much easier, so much less stress. I will never go back. I'll tell you that right now. Black Tie Moving, I've used them twice. I will use them again if I ever need to. They're changing, moving the city of Memphis. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They stay on budget. You will be so glad you used them. But schedule fills up fast. Get on that schedule now. 316-6196 is the phone number. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, changing, moving in the city of Memphis. All right. How do babies get born? Sometimes you're a little early. You're a little earlier than you thought you'd be. That's the case for today's rundown. Let's get it. All right, so I kind of feel like if you cover college sports in 2025, you're like a business reporter. You're like an NIL reporter. You know, it's just like so ingrained in the everyday fabric of what it is now, because that's what it is, a business. These guys are looking for NIL deals. They're looking for, you know, revenue share money, and it's great. Like, I don't begrudge it. It's just like, I feel like I write just as much about money as I do about sports and games, you know, in 2020, which is, again, it's fine. I like money. I like business. It's fine. But, you know, we know Ed Scott had that press conference on Friday of last week where he talked about being on par with a school like Kansas which is a distribution from the revenue share of about $4.5 to $5.5 million a year. And so if you're somebody that's out there listening and you're like, okay, how do I make sense of that number? What does it mean? Well, it actually means that if Memphis is matching that or is close to matching that, they are committing pound for pound more to basketball than Kansas is. Because I assume Kansas will be doing that, Jason, with a $20.5 million ref share, mm-hmm. right? They're giving football, you know, $10, $12
million. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.